Keep it up, Ellie.
11, 10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Oh.
Ace time.
I'm feeling it.
Let's go.
We own it. We own it.
Hmm.
Is
it saying we own it or we on it?
We on it.
What happened to Onyx?
Screw you, Minnesota.
Is Onyx still around? Do they still tour?
I don't know.
I think I'm at the club.
Huh?
I think I'm at the club.
Oh, no.
There's a club down here.
For the group.
Rockets up 2-0 in the best of 7 against Minnesota. They won by 20, 102-82 last night.
Who's this fella? Who's this...
We'll mention all the artists. We'll play them all at the same time. I'm not sure.
We're going to have a showdown?
Yeah, we'll have a showdown.
We've got two different genres. We got hip-hop here, but previously we had old-school classic rock.
Top of the hour, why I feel much better after last night, not just with the Rockets game, but all the games in the NBA last night, among the three, about how this postseason might shake out. Plus, top of the hour, we give away a premium Astros championship season premium hardcover coffee table book. 1 hour from now, McLean claimed to us that he wrote a great story about Larry Bird. We found the story from 1986, the year I was born, and we're going to go through the story and figure out John McLean's trajectory as a writer. Yeah. And he got some good quotes about Larry Bird. We'll have that
I'll tell you what,
1 hour from now.
I mean, I'm looking through this thing. There's like literary allusions.
Yeah,
there are metaphors. There's imagery. So it looks to be a pretty well-written article here.
Yes. So we're going to sit down and have a Mad Radio reading session coming up in an hour. I thought Cody and John did a nice job summarizing yesterday where the Astros were. And I'm listening to Cody. I'm like, I should have brought up this stuff. And he asked the obvious question. Is Ken Giles the closer anymore? Or is it obvious to say that they're going closer by committee? He even asked, is Chris Devinsky the closer?
Mm-hmm.
Now, they won last night, non-save situation. So McHugh closed it out last night.
Yeah.
And I said closed it out just in a colloquial sense, not like he didn't get the save last night.
This is where I guess, yeah, to me it feels... It almost feels like some weird dysfunctional family where, like, the mom has been sent off to the loony bin, but the dad's not telling the kids about it. Like, no, mom's fine. She's just off visiting her relatives or something. That all evidence would point to the fact that mom's gone off to the loony bin because she's not around no more.
Yep.
Or she only shows up on weekends for 4 hours on Sunday. And yet, dad keeps saying, no, everything's fine. Everything's fine.
All's well.
Everything's fine. And yet... Would you treat your closer so delicately? Do you treat your closer like somebody who needs to be coddled and brought along? Because, hey, everybody knows when you think closers in baseball, you think, be delicate with them because they're not all that mentally tough. No, they're so crazy. They're mentally tough because they're crazy. But I don't, yeah, I feel like there's no other clear answer other than, no, Giles is not your closer anymore.
In the last 13 days, Giles has pitched 4 times, period. And he has pitched one time this week.
Uh-huh.
He pitched that game that they lost on Saturday. It wasn't his fault because they lost in extra innings, but he pitched the one inning when it was tied. And he did a nice job to get himself 3 outs.
In my mind, he wasn't the closer as soon as Hinch ever made a reference to Giles needing something for his confidence or needing an appearance for his confidence. Look, you're the baseball expert here. How often do managers talk about a closer's confidence? Good closer's confidence.
I think they might. I mean, he might say right now that Jake Mariznick is struggling with confidence, which is kind of obvious.
But he's not a closer.
Yeah, it's one thing to
closers
say.
Closers got big swinging units, and they just walk right up, and then there you go. They're always confident, no matter what the hell happens.
I'm surprised that he hasn't used him more, period.
Yeah.
Save situations, non-save situations. And I know you can say, well, in a couple of these situations, when Chris Devinsky has been in to get the save, they've been facing lefties, like the Rangers last week, like the Mariners with Cano and Gordon the other night. So it makes some logical sense based on how good Devinsky has been against lefties. But the bottom line is, you brought in Ken Giles to be the closer, and currently, right now, they are a closer by committee.
If you have a dominant closer that you feel good about, you don't need a lefty specialist to get out the lefties in that instance.
Exactly.
You know, like, if Aroldis Chapman a couple years ago, it's not like if Devinsky and Aroldis Chapman were on the same squad, you'd be saying, like, well, bring in Devinsky instead of Aroldis. It's Aroldis. Because that's your dominant closer.
Now, left-handed hitters last year hit 196 off Ken Giles. Mm-hmm. He was actually better against lefties than righties.
Yeah.
So it's not as though you look at Giles. Davinsky
was fantastic against lefties, but the sample size and et cetera, et cetera. It should be if he's your closer, he's your closer. Or in Hinch's world, your closer is the guy that comes in the highest leverage situation. You might be using him in the eighth inning, but he hasn't been that guy.
No.
Even though he was right up until the playoffs and on into the World Series.
I mean, what is forgotten in light of the fact that Giles melted down in the playoffs was that in the last 2 months of the regular season, Hinch relied on Ken Giles for a bunch of two-inning saves that went a lot better than I actually thought they would, considering our overall uncertainty about Ken Giles. But you're
he's like a long closer there for a stretch of a couple of weeks.
Yeah. But now you're in this interesting place where it's definitely closer by committee, and I guess we'll kind of see where it shakes out. Now Hinch is in the spot that you've always talked about, which is he's just going to do whatever he wants with his relief staff. And
if anything, there's probably a small part of Hinch where he's kind of like, huh. Now this is what you're going to get. We're gonna do what the analytics would tell you to do, which is whoever's the man on that specific day is the man on that specific day.
Yes. And they might have the best starting rotation right now in baseball. Yeah. Certainly in this last turn where they've been unbelievable. And a member of that rotation, Lance McCullers, he'll join us this morning at 9:20 because he is on the West Coast, so it's even earlier.
But that's the biggest question I guess I would have about things like that. Because you talk to old school baseball people, say like, no, listen, you've got your closer is your closer. And I understand that thinking if you have a dominant closer. The question becomes, okay, what of the 20 or so teams in the league who don't feel incredibly awesome about their closer? Is it really the best way to roll an average to substandard guy out there? Is that the ideal way to handle closing out a baseball game? It doesn't seem like it would be.
I'm not sure. It's hard to answer. It's a good question by you, Seth. It's hard to answer on the face of it. I've always thought that getting the last three outs when you have a lead, it's always felt different to me than getting the eighth inning out or the seventh inning.
Right, but what do we know about baseball? Is that a whole lot of stuff that you based on feel for years and years and years was complete bunk.
But it still feels that way.
But the teams that are doing well are saying, all right, well, look, what do I feel versus what do we know? And what I feel might not always be correct.
Now, here's the main...
You're supposed to be the nerdy one here, Mike. You're supposed to be the one that's dictated by logic and reason. You're supposed to be Spock. Where I'm supposed to be here, I'm Captain Kirk. I'm out, nailing hot chicks across the universe and everything while you're sitting there with your bookish ways.
They did
Now we got the roles are all reversed. You're out there. You're up here sexually harassing Ellie. Well, I'm the one that's being careful about
Captain
everything.
Captain Kirk?
Yeah.
Is that from Star Trek?
Yeah.
I was trying to...
Don't sit here and try to act like, okay, old reference. Like, no.
I'm just asking. My only familiarity is it was on a song before.
We have a CBS Sportsman Integrated with Boomer Esiason. On the Triple Threat yesterday, they did a taste test of Taco Bell because Rich Lord claimed somehow that he had never eaten Taco Bell in his life, which I find to be a staggering admission.
Landry, if you in the post-show meeting, and everybody that's going to complain about me interrupting Mike, no, we moved on before I was ready to move on. Landry, if you're going to, in the post-show meeting, if you try to say that I need to explain a Captain Kirk reference because our audience doesn't get it, I will punch you in the head.
No, that was a personal thing.
All right. Okay. No, you're just personally asking.
I
thought you gave me that little look like, nobody's going to get that reference.
No,
like I made a Seinfeld joke or something.
I didn't know
I think a lot of people would get that.
I didn't know the reference.
The majority of 18-year-olds would get the Captain Kirk reference.
I just know it from Master P's Ghetto Dope album. That's all.
Well, there you go.
How many people in the audience?
That's actually who I was thinking of.
How many people in the audience have eaten Taco Bell? What percentage?
Oh, like 97?
Not Rich Lord until yesterday.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Where did he get off being snobby about it then?
I don't know.
I've heard him be snobby about it for years. He turns his nose up at fast food.
He tried it yesterday.
So what'd they give him?
They gave him a hard taco, a Mexi melt, a Mexican pizza, and a bean burrito, which by the way, that's not the way to order for someone's first time. I could have taken care of that. But I think they just didn't get him premium items because they knew he was gonna hike his leg on it regardless of how it tasted.
Yes.
My thing is this, I wasn't here when Rich was fat. But if you were as fat as Rich reportedly was, and you weren't eating Taco Bell, what a waste of being fat.
I know.
What a waste of being fat, and what a miserable life.
And I'll tell you what, if you get that heavy eating traditional food, it's like you got
to
work at it. Like that's not
really
something that just happens. You can stumble your way into being fat when you eat fast food regularly.
Yes.
If you're just, that's old school pie eating fat from back in the day, like the 1940s, where there wasn't fast food on every... I was about to say every corner. There's like 8 fast food joints on every single corner. Speaking of Taco Bell.
I watched the segment, not all of it, granted. Did but he a like bunch it? Of it on Facebook Live. I don't think he liked any of it.
No, he said it was the worst thing he's ever tasted.
Which I don't buy. I don't buy that for a second. That was the worst thing he tasted. Taco Bell's fine. It's fine.
But yeah, look, if you're going to be a connoisseur, is it 5-star dining?
It's not gourmet tacos.
But this stuff is engineered to be...
good.
To be good.
To
make you want more and more and more.
That's a good way to put it.
I understand that you say it's not the best tacos, and I like a good taco shack. I go to Brothers Tacos like all the time. It's one of my favorites. But
is that close to where we live, by the
way?
Yeah,
it's very close.
I got to go.
And it's packed, dude. Okay. It's only open till 1. We got to go there. Let's go there Saturday. I'm telling you, the breakfast tacos to die for. But when done right, Taco Bell Hard Taco Supreme is my favorite taco.
Yeah.
That's my favorite taco. A lot of people will hike their leg on it, but when done right, and it can be screwed up, it's elite.
It's hard to compete with science. It depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for like a unique experience or the ambiance of your favorite food truck or what have you, you're not going to necessarily get that. But Taco Bell is popular for a reason.
I was also puzzled that they chose the Mexican pizza to present to him.
Yeah, that's something you work your way into. They should have got him a cheesy bean and rice. That's on the dollar menu right now. That's good. They should have got him the chicken quesadilla because it's the least polarizing item. They should have got him a chicken chalupa supreme because then he would have had a little taste of something like the good and the bad. They also had it delivered, which is like, come on, like, there's name a fast food place that you could have delivered. Like, a 20-minute route to deliver fast food, it's not going to be what you think it is.
Not quite as good. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, I would say... yeah, I agree. I thought their selection was questionable. They should have had Landry and Cody come up with a list of items to have Rich Lord eat during this Taco Bell eating contest.
Cody would have picked the Gordita Crunch for sure. I've been to Taco Bell many times with
him. I think you guys
have the
expertise on this. Yes.
Landry, I'm gonna email you one of my favorite people on Twitter, Clint Shane. You know Clint. He's a comic genius.
He's hilarious.
His wife, Tracy, is also one of my favorite people. She's not on Twitter as much, but he sends videos of her drunk every now and then. I'm going to send you a video of her, I believe, ordering a Taco Bell.
I have it.
Do you have it?
Yeah, I'll get it ready. I'll get it ready before the end of the segment.
I just emailed it to you, but okay.
All right, so coming up at the top of the hour here, we are giving away an Astros Championship Season premium hardcover coffee table book and why I feel much better about the Rockets in the playoffs. And it's not just about the way they played last night. Mike and Seth, Mad Radio, we have a CBS Sports Minute to grade.
And we've got Tracy Yolo coming up also. We'll play her either before or after the Sports Minute, ordering Taco Bell, well inebriated, but still... keeping it together for a Taco Bell order.
Could I get one naked chicken chips box? Sprite?
Sierra Miss.
Sierra Miss. And one chicken quesadilla. And one grilled stuffed burrito. Beef. And then whatever you want. $20? Who spends that much at Taco Bell?
You do! You just did that!
I love Taco Bell!